It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio, the show that is all about spiritual direction and helping you in your relationship with Jesus and to walk a little bit more closely with Him day by day. My name is Patrick Conley. I'm helping out with Relevant Radio and the morning news, but also occasionally filling in here for Chuck Neff on The Inner Life. Grateful to be with you again and all this week. I'm thankful for the opportunity. Today we are talking about detachment. How do we detach ourselves from even the good things of life in order that we might grow closer to the Lord? And our spiritual director today is Father Eric Nielsen. Father Eric is a pastor of the St. Paul University Catholic Center on the campus of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And he's also the director of the Rome Experience. And of course, he's a regular here on The Inner Life. Welcome back, Father Nielsen.
Hello, Patrick. It's great to be here. Having a good time sitting here, kind of sequestered here in my little office during the corona epidemic. But it is what it is.
But we still have radio, so that's a good thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, radio is like the it doesn't affect you guys at all. Probably helps a little bit more.
Well, it gives us the opportunity. It gives us some opportunities, definitely. And we're here to try to continue to encourage the faithful, which is what we're doing today and every day here on The Inner Life, as we talk about detachment. Now, Father, I was just wondering if we can just start with because I think there can be some misconceptions around what detachment can actually mean. What is detachment? Can you give us a baseline definition?
You know, I wasn't expecting that question, Patrick, but I'll do my best. I would say that a baseline definition of detachment is that you do not have an emotional need to have something. So that's what I would say. You know, you're not you don't have an emotional need. You know, it's different than a desire. You know, you can have a desire for something, but so you can kind of see it with a certain objectivity. I've been talking to the students here about their dreams, and I said, you want to be detached from your dreams. You should have dreams. You should want your dreams, go after your dreams, but you be detached from them because they might not happen. And if you're attached to your dreams and you start to see them slip away, you start to become anxious or you become depressed or you become angry. And so that's why you want to stay detached. It doesn't mean you don't love these things and desire these things. It's just that you don't see them as an emotional necessity. Mm. And we want the only emotional necessity that we have in life is our Creator God, our loving Father, and the grace given to us by the Holy Spirit through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we want to be attached to. Mm. So. And that is why I think our Lord summed it up really well when he said, he who loves his life in this world will lose it, and he that hates his life in this world will save it. You know, so that's the fundamental goal, spiritual goal of detachment, is to only have one attachment, and that is Jesus himself.
And that is something, of course, our life is a gift from God. And when we're talking about detachment, of course, we know, I think, pretty deeply within us that we need to be detached from sin and detached from things that are evil or bad for us and for our relationship with the Lord. But when we're talking about detachment, it goes obviously farther than that, because if we want to be detached to a certain degree from our own life, as you just said, our Lord has told us, then we want to be detached even from the good things that God gives us too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where we really speak of detachment. I think you hit the nail on the head, Patrick, when you said we're not talking about sin, because a lot of times we can think, oh, you know, I'm not sinning. Yeah, you're not sinning, but what you are is you're putting a barrier between you and God. And because of that barrier and because of that attachment, it will lead to sin. if you're attached to something, it eventually will lead to sin. You know, for example, we're supposed to be detached from money. Now, if we're attached to money, if we have an emotional need for money and wealth, there's a great line in Scripture, and it's wealth, man lacks wisdom. And Jesus himself said it's easier for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you read the spiritual writers, you know, it's not that having wealth is a problem. It's that desire for wealth, that attachment to wealth, because your attachment to wealth is going to lead you to neglect your neighbor, to not be generous, to not be willing to give to the poor man who, you know, has some need. You're going to find yourself working on Sundays when you shouldn't be.
Mm.
And so it's the same with power. You know, Jesus said, "Learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart." You know, and what does it matter for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, if you're attached to power, if you're attached to prestige, if you're attached to the emotional need to have people look up to you and respect you, that attachment in itself isn't really a sin. That emotional attachment isn't a sin. But because of that emotional attachment for that power, that attention, you're going to find yourself doing things you shouldn't do. And it is going to lead to sin. And so we need to be detached from these things. Probably the hardest thing to detach from, which is maybe something I might want to focus on for those of you who have children, is to be detached from family. You know, our Lord said, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And it's so easy to be attached to family, especially to be attached to your children. If you are in an emotional need of your children's love, in an emotional need of their intent, of their approval, you can easily find yourself committing sins in order to obtain their approval or to obtain their love, or at least condoning things that they're doing that you know are morally, you know, wrong. You know, condoning premarital sex, condoning abnormal sexual activity, or else just, you know, smothering your children and not allowing them the freedom that they need to be who they want to be. I mean, how many children do I know that are dissuaded from a religious vocation because of the emotional attachment of their parents? And so that's a real detachment we have to foster, and it's not an easy detachment to have, you know, because as parents, you know, you sacrifice so much for your children, you give so much to your children, and if you have the unfortunate predicament of being in a marriage that doesn't give you a lot of emotional support, it's very easy to just use your children as a way to have some emotional stability and joy in your own life.
Hmm. Wise words and many things that we can and hopefully will get into as we continue on in the inner life today. If you or someone you know, if you've ever realized that you've had a serious emotional attachment, a serious attachment to something, and then you were able to let it go, or you were able to detach from it, or even just the realization itself, give us a call. Join the conversation. 888-914-9149 is our phone number here at The Inner Life. 888-914-9149. You can also send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in a very short amount of time. We'll be detached from this break very quickly as we continue to talk about detachment with Father Nielsen. Stay with us.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, Do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as also your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you.
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
If you're looking for a little help on your journey of faith, our priests are here for you. Call now. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. Or email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to The Inner Life. That Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans is available at relevantradio.com/forester. My name is Patrick Conley. We are talking about detachment today here on The Inner Life with our spiritual director, Father Eric Nielsen, the pastor of the St. Paul University Catholic Center on the campus of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And Father, you were just talking about your baseline definition of detachment was to have an emotional need for something. And just spinning off of that a little bit, what are some indicators or signs that we can be aware of that we might have an emotional need for something?
Yeah, I would say the first one is anger if you don't obtain it. You know, that's the first, you know, like if your son doesn't come home from college, you're just, you know, just really angry about it. Or, you know, all of a sudden you can't watch that football game. You know, you just get, you know, really angry. You can see that with people, especially if they got a real emotional addiction. You can see how they get angry when it's removed from them. Or, you know, the flip side of anger is sadness. And obviously, you know, if there's, you know, if I really love somebody and I was looking forward to them coming up for Christmas and suddenly they couldn't, the natural thing would be sadness, okay, which rather than anger. But if that sadness is excessive, you know, if it gets in the way of you enjoying the other people who are home at Christmas, you know, then I think that, you know, your attachment is probably, you know, a little strong there, you know. Even though that sadness might not go away, you know, every time you think of that person who's not home for Christmas, you're sad about it, you know, you still have the ability to enjoy the people that are around you. I would say you're probably attached to something if you find yourself putting off prayer for whatever it is that you're doing. It could be you're overly attached to your work. That's very easy for a lot of people to become attached to work, you know, an emotional need to complete their work. And if you're putting off prayer for your work or, you know, for students, you know, for your grades, you can be very strongly emotionally attached to your grades, for instance. I'd say thinking of something at inopportune times, you know, when you're in conversation with other people, not so much in prayer because it's, I mean, although that's an indicator too, if you keep thinking of something when you're in prayer, could mean that you're emotionally attached to it. But I would say you got to be careful there because a lot of times we can just be tempted in prayer, especially, you know, temptations against chastity can kind of, you know, flare up. And so I would hate to say that you're emotionally attached to that temptation if you're just being tempted there. I would say two things, too, to those that are listening. If you just really want to be honest with yourself, and if you can hear this, is that outside of work, there really should not be anything that you're doing more during the week than in prayer. Like if your hobby is fishing, you want to be spending more time in prayer than you are fishing. If your hobby is golf, I think you really want to be spending more time in prayer than golfing. Because it's not the only emotional attachment we want to have is God. And if we are truly emotionally attached to God, and we do need God, whether we realize it or not, you know, without God, we wouldn't even, you know, be here, right? And God sustains our being. And our goal in the spiritual life is to have our heart emotionally attached to God. Well, if that's the case, then we should be spending time in prayer. And that should be, you know, in a certain sense, our go-to. We want our go-to to be prayer. We don't want our go-to, you know, to be Netflix or, you know, sunbathing or whatever the case may be. Not that, you know, obviously we should play golf and have recreated activities, but if you really want to be honest, it's prayer, work, and, you know, then a little recreation, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that you can do is every night, and I really recommend this, you know, make a really good examination of conscience at night before you go to bed, and bring a piece of paper with you and a pen or a pencil, and really write down concretely what you did that was a sin or what you didn't do, you know, and you have to be specific and concrete, and that takes some work. You know, so often people come to confession, it's like, you know, I was mad at my brother, or, you know, I was lazy. Well, you know, I was lazy. Okay, how were you lazy? You know, and what was it? You know, I just had 3 cups of coffee in the morning while, you know, reading the news instead of getting, you know, my housework done, or instead of working, you know, in the backyard, or instead of going to work. Okay. Well, okay, you do that once, but, you know, you write that down at the end of the day. Well, then if you're writing these things down, suddenly, you know, wow, you know, I do that like 5 times a week or 4 times a week. Well, I have a little attachment there to reading the news and my cup of coffee. And it starts to come out. And so, you know, I got to work on that. So maybe with my spiritual director, I'm not going to read the news for a couple weeks, you know, as a way to detach. Not that reading the news is bad, and at some future time I'll go back to reading the news, but right now I'm just overly attached to it, and so I got to let go of it for a while. You know, I just got to flush it out of my system, so to speak, in order to overcome that attachment.
Got it. Wow. What wonderful advice. Great ways of seeing if we have an emotional need. Let's go to the phones and take a phone call here before our half-hour break. Carolyn is calling in from McKinney, Texas. Carolyn, welcome to The Inner Life.
Thank you.
Hello,
I have
Carolyn.
A question. You were talking. Hello, Father. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Thanks for calling. So your question.
So you were speaking about. Yes, you were speaking about detachment from the family, and you talked about children, but what about spouses? The angle that I'm coming from, I've been married 30 years, and my husband is a wonderful man. He started a men's Bible study at work. People tell me, oh, he's such a good teacher. He, you know, invests himself in people. But here I am going, gosh, I wish he would invest himself in me. And we talk about it, and he's like, well, I don't know what to do. And I tell him, well, I need you to spend some time with me and talk with me. And,
yeah, that's a good thing. It could be a positive thing.
Yes, right. And so long and short of it is that I don't feel loved or cherished. And it makes going to the marital embrace a little difficult for me. I kind of avoid it, and that's not how it's supposed to be. And we were in a little marriage group for a while, and the study was talking about, and the two became one flesh. And in the book, they talked about how one flesh isn't just physically. It's heart and mind. And my husband was dumbfounded. He always thought it was physical, which kind of comes back to how we had been living. And so how do you address that with detachment and an emotional need?
Carolyn, it's textbook. It's like a textbook. You're a textbook case. Because, you know, it is. You know, it's like men want, you know, physical intimacy in order to feel emotionally bonded, and women want emotional bonding in order to have physical intimacy. And so that's textbook. The other textbook thing is you have a husband who's saving the world and neglecting the one vow that he made to God, which was to you know, to love you and cherish you, right? You know, so that's just completely textbook as well. So your I'd say your difficulty or your desires there are well founded. Okay, so when we say detachment, that doesn't mean that we should let go of things that are legitimately ours, right? And so you legitimately, in a certain way, don't have an emotional need. I mean, in some sense you do, because your husband is there to support you and to love you, right? And you can become emotionally attached to your spouse to the point of, you know, putting God out of the way. But that's not what you're talking about. Maybe, I guess, we got a break, so we can pick that up after
yeah,
the break.
We do have a break coming up. But Carolyn, if you can stay on the line, we'll get right back to you right after our break. We're talking about detachment with Father Eric Nielsen. Give us a call, 888-914-9149. We'll be back right after this.
Day 3, Holy Virgin of Virgins, pray for us. This is the third title of Our Lady in the Litany of Loretto, as we pray for 54 days for the needs of our church and the nation. In our contemporary Western post-Christian culture, virginity is rarely appreciated, hardly expected, and commonly misunderstood, as if it were weakness of character, when in fact it's the opposite. Consider the lives and examples of some of the great saints who were virgins and completely committed to Jesus Christ. The Blessed Mother, St. John the Apostle, Santa Maria Goretti, St. Damian of Malachi, and many others. They all stood strong at the foot of the cross. They all gave themselves without reserve to God at a young age. St. Jose Maria had a special insight into the power of prayer for virgins when he wrote, "Next to the prayer of priests and of dedicated virgins, the prayer most pleasing to God is the prayer of children and that of the sick."
Receive these free daily messages by signing up at relevantradio.com/novena.
If you're looking for a little help on your journey of faith, our priests are here for you. Call now, 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. Or email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
We are back in The Inner Life. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Nick Schmitz, our producer. Jim Shaper taking your phone calls today, and we are speaking about detachment with our spiritual director, Father Eric Nielsen, who's the director of the Rome Experience and one of our regular spiritual directors. Always good to be with you, Father. We were talking with Carolyn before we went on break, and Carolyn was asking questions about how does one detach from a spouse, or how does detachment work with a spouse? Let's jump back into that. So, Father, what advice are you giving?
Yeah. So, Carolyn, we're talking about two different things here. It doesn't sound to me like you're emotionally attached to your husband at all, let me just not go down the road of what that would look like, being emotionally attached to your spouse, because I just don't see that actually that often. What I see, though, is that a lack of friendship among spouses. And what you're talking about here is this man of mine is no longer my friend, because a friend, and he's supposed to be, in a certain sense, somebody who's deeper than my friend. And so he owes me love and affection. We're supposed to have a friendship here, which requires time together, which requires shared experiences, which requires, you know, sharing our feelings and emotions. You know, I'm not supposed to have, you know, because of the exclusivity of our relationship, I'm supposed to have a depth of friendship here that supersedes all my other friends, and it's just not there. So how can we call this, you know, a true loving marriage if we don't have this depth of relationship happening? So it's kind of a whole different question, Carolyn. Yeah, you're not emotionally attached to him. You just want to have this depth of friendship with him that doesn't exist. And you see him giving himself to other people. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, Father Nielsen. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah, you see this in marriage. You see two things happening, at least I do. You see men giving their, he's probably emotionally attached to his job, emotionally attached to perhaps his position, maybe even emotionally attached to other people looking up to him. And because of that, he's denying the emotional needs of his wife. And on the flip side of that, just to be very stereotypical, you often see that even in really good Catholic families, wives who have an emotional attachment to their children, and then their spouses are left out in the cold. You know, the man is left without, you know, just that affection and friendship that he expects from his wife. So, you know, I guess that's what I see in most marriages. I don't really see, you know, overly emotionally attached to their spouse. I think you see that when they're dating, when they're engaged, but that kind of wears off rather quickly. And then you kind of like, wow, you know, you guys need to be more, you know, emotionally bonded to each other because, you know, you're supposed to be friends. So anyway.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Father, for that. And thank you, Carolyn, for calling in and being part of The Inner Life. Let's go from Carolyn in McKinney, Texas, to Stephanie, who is calling in from Illinois. Stephanie, welcome to The Inner Life.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think that sometimes, as it was the case for me, what I was looking for from my husband, I kind of had a similar situation to the previous caller. What I was looking for from him, though, was more affirmation, more of like an emotional, like relationship that I should have been seeking out with God. Like God should be the one that I'm going to with all my emotional needs. And not that my husband shouldn't be my friend and be the one that I talk to, but the need for something in return, and that perfect love and affection that only God can give. You know, it was kind of what I was seeking. And I think sometimes we as women expect our husbands to be able to fulfill all those needs for us when they're imperfect and they can't. And so it ends up like leading to a lot of hurt and feelings of, I mean, just kind of abandonment in the midst of your marriage. Like they're not even listening to you anymore, or because they don't know what to do and they can't really give you, you know, that fulfillment that you're asking for, because it should come from God alone. And so for us, it ended up like me being so needy, and then I'd get angry, and he ended up having an emotional affair. And which, you know, obviously we've worked through, and we went to RetroVi, which was amazing. And I would recommend it to anybody, even if you're not like in danger of divorce, but you really feel like your communication and trust and all those things needs like a marriage boot camp. RetroVi definitely was that for us. And it just brought back that friendship and that trust that we had been missing. And then we were able to, you know, through some counseling too, like, and good spiritual direction, say, okay, like, what are the needs that we are looking for in each other that we should be looking for in the Lord? And, you know, and that, you know, he's not going to be perfect at fulfilling all my needs. And once I stepped back from that and gave him the freedom to kind of be himself, he showered me with all the things that I had been wanting in the first place, because he felt free to do that. And so it was just, you know, that freedom to just be yourself and the freedom to love, you know, the way that you can and do, you know, is amazing in a relationship. And I, you know, found fulfillment in God, and also like deciding and discerning what are things that I should bring to him emotionally, and what are things I can maybe talk to a really good girlfriend about, or that I should bring to spiritual direction or prayer instead.
Yeah.
So I'm not overwhelming him, you know, with all these emotions all the time.
Yeah, Stephanie, I think you hit the nail right on the head there about that emotional attachment. It's not so much emotional attachment as emotional expectation that some women have. And as I'm telling young people when they get married these days, is your husband is not going to be your best girlfriend. So I think you brought that up as well. Sometimes you expect your husband to have the same you know, emotional capacities that a woman would have. And men just don't have that. So besides going to God, that you have to have your girlfriends.
Sure, yeah. And I did also learn, like, my emotions are my responsibility. They're not anybody else's responsibility. And they come from, you know, the thoughts that I have about a situation. So really kind of looking internally at my state of mind and where I'm at in prayer and, like, all these things, you know, I was better able to just let my husband be himself and just have him, like, just be free to love me. And I was free to just love him for who he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some great advice, Stephanie.
It is indeed. Stephanie, thank you. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. And Father, it makes me think, both Caroline and Stephanie's calls makes me think about, clearly detachment is different from abandonment, of turning away from entirely. That's what we're meant to do with sin. So it's not that. And actually, when it comes to other things, maybe material things like wealth and riches, that sort of thing. In fact, the Catechism itself says that the precept of detachment from riches is obligatory for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So, but Jesus isn't asking us necessarily anyway to give away everything we have, is he, when he's talking about that detachment from riches? Or
I think you got to... Right. Yeah, I think you got to make a distinction there, Patrick, right, between a need, you know, and a desire and an attachment. You know, we all need money. You know, I'm the pastor of a church, so I need a certain amount of power and prestige, right, you know, in order just to effectively do my job. You know, the father of a family needs to be respected. And so, you know, there's certain needs. There's certain desires. You know, there's nothing wrong with desiring a close emotional relationship with one of your children, right?
Right.
But it's when we need it. It's when that the only real emotional need that we have is our attachment to God. And in a sense, the only way we get to heaven is if that becomes our only need. And you know what happened with Stephanie is she had these emotional difficulties going on with it in herself that she expected her husband, you know, to fulfill. I don't know if it was really an attachment to her husband. It's just an unrealistic expectation that her husband was meant to, you know, satisfy these emotional difficulties that she was having when he just wasn't capable of it. But when we look at other things, you know, like money or, you know, a car or a house or whatever, you know, to want a nice house and have a desire for a nice house, there's, you know, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you need it in order to be happy, well, now you have an attachment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Excellent. If you'd like to join the conversation about your own story of detaching yourself from something, or even just the realization that you came to about being attached to something, and if you have questions for our spiritual director, Father Eric Nielsen, do give us a call, 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Let's go back to the phones, Father. Gene is calling in from Appleton, Wisconsin. Gene, welcome to The Inner Life.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, and Father Nelson. I want to kind of address your emotional attachment. I've got a little bit of a different perspective on that. I'm a widow. It'll be 4 years come September, and my husband had a 2-year battle with cancer, and he was a young 55-year-old when he died. My attachment, detachment started during that journey, and I really want to, the detachment and God first goes hand in hand. I ended up having to go see a counselor through some things that were happening to me physically. And through that, learning that God first is something that's very hard for us to all look at when we have a life of a husband and kids and other things. My children were grown, but it didn't really take away from the fact that since we dated at 15 and now I'm going to be faced with losing him, I had an emotional attachment, not unhealthy because we were crazy about each other, but in the respect where I had so much fear built up and not looking at the hereafter, the life to come instead of this world and what would I be without. Well, my wonderful man that I went to see that helped me, very good Christian man, it was all about me learning that God loved me more than anything, and I had to learn that my love and relationship with the Lord had to be their number one first. And he said, you may be alone, but you will never be lonely. or vice versa even, if the Lord is first. And then when he passed away, the detachment from things around me that were mine and his, and the purging that takes place. And I think until you go through that as someone that loses a spouse, you really start to understand how close and how you are to heaven, that thin veil that is separating you from heaven because your spouse or your close loved one is right there. And all of a sudden, everything in this world of materialistic things or whatever, even though you didn't feel you had a great attachment, they just go away. You start purging and getting rid of things because now it is about God's, you know, he's the only thing that can get you through. So I think when it comes to detaching in our lives with people, with things, we first have to realize that our relationship is not perfect with the Lord. And once you put everything, all your eggs in his basket, so to speak, then you start realizing that all the other things, nothing brings you happiness and joy like the Lord. And just speaking of to Carolyn's situation, I could totally relate to that. And our emotional attachments to our husbands and maybe vice versa at times, that does occur. But in my situation, that fear that was built up because he's all I had ever known. So it was time to let God be the one to get, you know, I need to get to know the Lord and understand that's what my goal is right there with him. And he was the most important thing in my life. So that's my story to share.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jean. Yeah, it's a young age to lose your husband. Do you have some children too?
Mm-hmm. Or? I have four. I have four grown children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched my mother go
and
through
it.
It was very difficult.
Yeah. But you know, it was also such a blessing. And I had this urgency to tell people all these things around us. It just doesn't matter. And to tell you the truth, when I went through that counseling before he passed away, I had such joy knowing that no matter what, you know, the Lord loved me so much, and I accepted that. Sometimes I don't think we want to accept that there's things of this world that can only make us happy, or even a spouse, or no, God can do that all for us. And that was such an amazing gift and blessing that he sent to me before my husband left, and that I could continue to share with the kids, the things we saw together as a family to grow, and to detach from things of this world. And I had a desperate need to tell people about it when he passed away, as no, make this the important thing, because really, in the end, that's what matters. You know, we do tend to be very selfish and think about our own needs and the scares and the fears and what I'm not getting and what I need to get. And it's just backwards for what we should be looking towards in the future, because it is God, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, Jean, that to tell you the truth, listening to you, it's not so much that you're attached to your husband, it's just that you're experiencing what we talked about at the beginning of the hour when our Lord said, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who loses his life will save it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have to go through that experience sooner or later. And, you know, like a person mm-hmm. who joins the monastery goes through that death to self. You know, they give everything away, they shave their head. You know, a nun shaves her head, puts on the veil. You know, they say goodbye to their friends. You know, in a lot of places for 2 years, they can't talk to anybody that they knew from their family because they're supposed to die to themselves. For those of us in the world, mm-hmm. you know, it can happen through the death of a spouse. Sometimes it happens through the death of a child. You know, they lose a child that they love, and it just causes them to wake up and realize, okay, so, you know, what am I attached to? And so this experience that you had with your husband, mm-hmm. I would say it wasn't like you were super attached to him in an unhealthy way. It's just that it caused you to really realize what's most important, which is the attachment to God and the goal that we have to get to heaven.
Yeah,
and when
and
you realize
that,
I'm sorry, Jean, what I was going to ask is when you realize that, what's most important, just curious as to how did your life change? How did the practices you had from day to day, did they change?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm a Catholic, of course. The word born again had a meaning like no other. My fear just was gone. Even the funeral, I mean, it was almost like the Lord just opened up my heart to a whole new way of thinking. And you know, I finally trusted. I was the one who prayed. I finally trusted that I was going to be fine. But all the daily in and outs, now I don't think about what's I do this. I do, you know, when good things happen, I say thank you, Lord, so much for these beautiful blessings in my life. And now they're not things that I associate myself with and my need for love, that it's more thank you for taking care of me and giving me such beautiful blessings and help me to share everything you've given me. And it's a born again. It's a total born again feeling of release, that the burden of feeling scared, you know, am I going to be wanted? Am I going to have a new life? Am I going to get married again? All those things just go by the wayside because it doesn't matter, you know, because God's right there holding my hand. And he took care of me before my husband was even gone. And it was such an amazing blessing, you know, to see. And then anything emotional, any of the pains that come with it, I just turned back around and said, yeah, but you took care of me during this time, and you took care of us during this time, and we saw this miracle happen, and so why would I doubt? Why would I doubt, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it changes everything. It's beautiful.
Wonderful.
It really is.
Wonderful. Jean, thank you so much
for taking my call today.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. What a wonderful testimony, Father, of just learning to trust the Lord, and whether it happens in a moment or over the course of many years, coming to trust and know and trust the Lord with everything that we have, even those things that unearthly things that we find most precious to us. And I guess that leads me to the question for you, Father, is more on the practical side, if we realize we have this emotional need, we have this attachment to something, what is the process of detachment? Of course, it's something we as Catholics do during the holy season of Lent. We try to practice that anyway. But do we do it all at once? Do we go cold turkey, so to speak? Or do we do it gradually? Are there good practical advice steps to take in detaching ourselves?
Well, you know, you could always just become a Carthusian. That was probably the traditional way to go to have attachment.
All right.
I'm serious.
All right.
You know, that's what people did. You know, you became a Carthusian or you became a Cistercian. You know, that was the whole idea of the monastery was, you know, or the desert fathers. You know, you just go out into the desert and detach. So anybody out there who really wants to be a saint and really wants to detach and really wants to know our Lord and feels the call, you know, be a Carthusian. I mean, I'm with all seriousness, you know, that's the way you do it. You know, you join the religious life, you take vows of poverty, obedience, and chastity. However, most of us are living in the world, right? And so that's not really, and we have to own things and we have to go about things. I would say the best thing to do is start saying your rosary every day, do a half hour mental prayer every day, and, you know, go to daily mass when you can, and God will detach you from things. You know, your car will be stolen. You know, people will become sick in your life. You know, just day-to-day life, if you accept it with a smile on your face and without giving into anger or excessive sadness, and will bring you closer to Christ. And, I mean, God is arranging your life so that you can detach from things. And, you know, if something breaks, just, you know, don't go out and buy it right away. You know, just, all right, maybe that's something I need to detach from. And if you just live a prayer life and just go through your life, you know, things, you know, God will arrange things to detach stuff.
Two of the things that I really find helpful in your comments there, Father, number one, I think oftentimes in Lent, I know I can be guilty of, and I'm guessing my brothers and sisters would be similar in this, my brothers and sisters in faith, that oftentimes when I get into a season or a practice of detachment, I will kind of willpower it through myself. Like I see all the whole responsibility falling on me, and I don't. Hopefully, eventually, I learn and do turn it over to God to help detach me from that. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is that we learn over time that we need to put something in where something is taken out, right? And you are suggesting what you have been through the whole show, that God is that need that we need to put in that place of whatever it is. Am I reading this right, Father?
That's exactly right. And you got to live with that hole for a while. You can't expect, you know, boom, you know, take it out, God replaces it. No, you got to be able to live in a little bit of that emptiness in that hole, you know, for a little bit. So I think that...
Yeah, I still get hungry during Lent.
Yeah, and suddenly... when you get things up for Lent, yeah.
Go ahead.
But when you give things up for Lent, you know, that's the thing is, you know, you just don't want a cold turkey it, and then suddenly, you know, Easter comes and like, wham, you know, I'm eating, you know, it's like 10 pounds of chocolate in the next 3 days, you know. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you can, you know, if you're after when Easter comes, that's why I'm not a big fan of, you know, even Sunday, you know, sometimes people say, well, I gave up chocolate for Lent, but I'm going to eat it on Sunday. No, you know, give it up for the whole time. And then when Easter comes, you know, ease yourself back into it, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that could be a whole nother inner life right there is not just how to fast properly, but how to feast properly. I think that's a
good suggestion. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Right. If you would like to talk to us about detachment, we've got a little bit of time left. 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. And Father, as we are ending, getting close to the end of our time together, I'm just curious one more time is that, obviously, it doesn't just mean material things. It can mean, as you've already said, detachment from our children or from our families, from our loved ones and that sort of thing. Can you just recap for us one more time how this is so it is so important and it is so meaningful and fulfilling for us as a practice in our faith?
Yeah, if you any emotional absolute need that you have is getting in the way of you being attached to God, and it's causing you some anxiety and some sadness that you shouldn't have, and it's getting in the way of loving other people. And as Jean so greatly expressed in her phone call, it's keeping you from really, you know, being secure in your life as it is right now without being afraid of the future.
Mm.
And so all of these things come from our emotional attachments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great, you know, and as you said, we can't get to heaven if we're attached to money. So these things can keep us out of heaven.
Right. Yes, indeed. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the program today, Father. And if you would, we'd like to close with a blessing.
May the blessing of Almighty God, through the intercession of all the saints, come down upon you. May our Lord in his mercy make you aware of your attachments and give you the grace to detach from them. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Father Eric Nielsen has been our spiritual director today as we've talked about detachment. And he, as always, has given us much to chew on, much to think about, much to pray about. And in fact, you can continue prayer just by staying tuned to Relevant Radio. We've got the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass coming up next from the Chapel of the Nativity. Stay tuned, and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
Three, Holy Virgin of Virgins, pray for us. This is the third title of Our Lady in the Litany of Loretto, as we pray for 54 days for the needs of our church and the nation. In our contemporary Western post-Christian culture, virginity is rarely appreciated, hardly expected, and commonly misunderstood, as if it were weakness of character, when in fact it's the opposite. Consider the lives and examples of some of the great saints who were virgins and completely committed to Jesus Christ. The Blessed Mother, St. John the Apostle, Santa Maria Goretti, St. Damian of Malachi, and many others. They all stood strong at the foot of the cross. They all gave themselves without reserve to God at a young age. St. Jose Maria had a special insight into the power of prayer of virgins when he wrote, "Next to the prayer of priests and of dedicated virgins, the prayer most pleasing to God is the prayer of children and that of the sick."
Receive these free daily messages by signing up at relevantradio.com/novena.